Good morning.
Good morning.
With thousands of pastors across the United States and around the world, I say to you this morning, He is risen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a great day to worship the Lord and to be a part of this Easter Sunday. And we are so glad that you are here today. May God bless you. Jesse, come and make our announcements.
Happy Easter. Thank you all for being here this morning to worship with us. Thank you to everybody joining us on Facebook. We appreciate you being with us as well. This evening we will not have choir practice or small groups as we normally do on Easter. We want you to have a good time celebrating with your families and hope you enjoy the rest of the day. And if you come here this evening, you'll be very lonely, but you can still do that. If you are a part of the nominating committee, please be here Wednesday evening at 5:30 p.m. in the conference room. Pastor will be meeting with the nominating committee to get ready for the elections for the new church year. We'll be back to regular Wednesday evening activities at 6 p.m. You know what those are, but don't forget about that. The ladies' Bible study will take place on Friday at 11:15. So, ladies, you know who you are. And if you are interested in that, I believe there's some more info in the foyer on that Bible study that takes place every week. And then, gentlemen, the men's ministry will be meeting this Saturday, 9 a.m. in the Family Life Center. Let Mr. Wayne know if you can be there so he knows how much bacon to cook. All right. And then we've done this for a number of years and have been announcing this, but we will be having our ministry fair starting next Sunday and going for the next two Sundays. And this will be down in the Family Life Center. We've typically done that here in the sanctuary where we have the different boards. It looks kind of like the science fair, and we have all the different boards along the back. They have information on the different ministries of the church and how you can be involved in participating in those. But like I said, we're going to be doing it in the Family Life Center. We're going to be doing it a little bit differently. And so as part of that, we'll be having church next Sunday morning in the Family Life Center. So once again, if you come up here for church, you will be lonely. So make sure you go down to the Family Life Center. But that will be at the regular time, normal service times, just a different location. And then we encourage you before and after church to look at the different boards, the different ministries, and hopefully you will find some things that are going on in the church that you were not aware of, and hopefully there will be things that you want to participate in. Then, as part of that, next Sunday evening we'll be having a special mission service in the Family Life Center. And you know, anytime we have a special service, we have to have food. So we will be doing that at 6 p.m. normal time, but we will be having an international potluck. This is something we've talked about doing for a while and have not done, but this will be a first for us. So we want to encourage you to bring something a little different, maybe from somewhere else. If all you can think to come up with is mashed potatoes, then we'll call them Irish and say it's good. But so for example, I'm hoping Meg will bring some sushi or something really good Japanese. The pastor, I know, has some Cajun cooking skills, so maybe he'll bring some gumbo or some jambalaya. I've heard that Susan has a good German sauerkraut recipe. Sauerbraten. I said that wrong. So, anyway, if you need any help coming up with recipes, ask Callie or I, and we can direct you in the right direction. But we're looking forward to a good time of food and fellowship with everybody next Sunday evening. And I think that's all I have. So thank you all for your attendance and for your faithfulness in supporting the church with your tithes and your offerings.
stand and sing Because He Lives. Here I am to bow down.
15 makes very clear that the Christian hope is grounded in the historic resurrection of Jesus. That because we know that he was resurrected, we know that resurrection does exist. But the Christian hope is a little bit selfish. It's not just grounded in the fact that Jesus was resurrected. It's grounded in the fact that you too can be resurrected unto life. And that's not just, I was dead and now I'm alive again. It's, I was dead, I was separated from God. And now I am alive, I am together with God in Christ Jesus. There's a big difference between those two things. I'm going to read to you a little bit of Colossians. In Jesus you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God has made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Jesus. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For if you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, then Christ, who is your life, appears, you too will appear with him in glory. Jesus was resurrected, and the Christian hope is that we too will join him in newness of life, not just when we die, but each and every day. Lord, it's you we have to thank for our life. Apart from you, we're quite literally nothing, and yet in you we know we live and we move and we have our being. So there's nothing that we can bring to you other than our gratitude, and a gratitude does look like us living our lives for you. And so we thank you for that great opportunity, that great gift that it is to be people who follow you, people who spend time with Jesus. It's a great gift that we do not deserve, and yet you so graciously give. And so we thank you for it and praise you in it. It's in your name we pray.
I want to speak to you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin with verse 12 and read down through verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. The Apostle Paul says here, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised,
your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If in only this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Several years ago, Time magazine published a special series of issues that dealt with the 100 most influential people of the past century. In that series of articles, they grouped together two guys that they said that those two, they were counting them as one. But anyway, it was a pair of self-taught engineers who were working in a bicycle shop, and some of you already know where I'm going with this. But those two guys forever made the world a much smaller place. Wilbur and Orville Wright changed everything. 123 years ago, man took their first flight in a 605-pound plane with a 12-horsepower engine. It flew for 12 seconds, and what fascinates me about that is this building from this front corner to the back corner back there is 120 feet, and that's exactly the length of the flight that they took in 12 seconds. You know. 2 weeks ago, after a series of mishaps, I finally flew from Nashville to Florida on a Boeing 737. That was 110 feet long, held 175 people. That was almost as long as that first flight. This week, you might not have watched it, but I did. A 322-foot rocket that weighed 5.75 million pounds and had 8.8 million pounds of thrust lifted off. And it's taking four astronauts around the moon and back. It's an amazing thing. My, how things have changed. You say, preacher, I thought we were done with talking about change. No, no, at least one more Sunday, and today is the day. On this Easter Sunday, we celebrate a change. We celebrate what one person did, not what two people did. We celebrate this morning what one person did that has had more impact on our world than any other human being has ever had. You already know it's Jesus. I read this many years ago, but I'm going to read it to you this morning. More than 2,000 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived, and that was during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither name, wealth, nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous, influential, and had neither training nor education. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the billows as if pavements, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, and that all the libraries of the country could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun, and yet no leader ever had more volunteers who have under his orders made more rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot being fired. The names of the past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of the past scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man abounds more and more. Though time has spread 2,000 years between the people of this generation and the scene of his crucifixion, yet he still lives. I'm far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. Jesus had an unprecedented level of influence as he lived. He continues to have an unprecedented level of influence after his crucifixion. And because he rose from the dead, today there are people all over the world that are going to church that don't normally go to church. And even though 2,000 years have passed, Easter is still a special Sunday. And the reason that it happens and the reason that probably billions of people around the world this morning are sitting in services just like you are sitting here this morning is because the resurrection changed everything. Everything. I want us this morning to look at three things. Three things that the resurrection has changed. And the first of those things that the resurrection has changed, it's changed our perspective on faith. In our text this morning that I read to you, Paul said that without the resurrection, the very essence of Christian faith would all fall apart. There would be no reason for us to come together to celebrate. There he says in verse 14, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is pointless. He says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Can you imagine what it would be like this morning if Jesus had not been raised? All we would be doing is coming together this morning to talk and to celebrate something that we don't even really know why we would be celebrating, but Jesus has been raised. And our faith is verified. Easter makes it possible. His resurrection makes it possible for the greatest message that has ever been heard around our world to be proclaimed. Jesus was God's only Son. He was the only one that was qualified to do what He did, to die for our sins. And He did that. He proved once and for all that all that He had said, all that He had told was actually true. Because He had been raised from the dead. A whole lot of people didn't think it was possible. I found out a long time ago that some of the greatest minds that have ever been lived have been called crazy by their peers. Even me occasionally. They said to Jesus as he hung on the cross, so you who were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down and save yourself. And they continued to mock him. They said, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross and so that we may see and so that we may believe. The sad part was even his own disciples abandoned him and fled. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he proved that he was the Christ, that he was God's Messiah. He substantiated every claim that had been made when his followers saw him, when they realized that this was the Christ. They believed at that point in time that he indeed was the resurrection and the life, and that whoever would put their faith in him, even though they were to die, they would live. Jesus' resurrection validated their faith. It caused people who were unlearned and who were uneducated, even to the point of really doing anything, to go out and do things that probably they would not have done otherwise had they not believed, had they not seen this one who was raised from the dead. I came to realize a long time ago, even as a child, that preaching, as I listened to my dad on Easter Sunday morning, I came to realize that our preaching is not in vain. My preaching is not pointless this morning. I have a reason to celebrate. I was lost in my sins, but because Jesus is risen, I too, even now, have life and that more abundant. Praise His name. You see, when you begin to look at this, Jesus really changes our perspective on life. we move from being dead in our trespasses and sins to alive in Him. He did not just come so that we'd have eternal life, hopefully one day. He came that we could have life today. And I'm glad to tell you that if you don't have that kind of life, if you don't have abundant life, now I'm not talking about that everything is going to go right. I'm not talking about that everything is going to go smooth. I'm not talking about that people are going to like you, because probably they won't. But I am talking about the fact that you can have life that means something. As the song says, it makes your life worth the living, because He is alive, and it changes our perspective on our faith. It changes our perspective on our life. Verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are all men to be most pitied. I mean, Paul wrote that at a point in time in which the people, if they profess faith in Christ, they could lose their life. I mean, many people in his day, They were threatened with death. They were persecuted. They were put to death. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I saw a video that showed Christians in the Horn of Africa who had confessed Jesus as Lord being put to death because of their faith. I mean, think about it, folks. This whole thing of life. You know, it would be crazy for anyone to endure the treatment that these apostles and these people endured because of something that was not real. If there's no resurrection, why would anybody fool around with themselves or inconvenience themselves? So it tells me that there must be something to all of this. You go on down to verse 32 here of chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Because Jesus was resurrected, it changes everything about the way we live. Jesus' resurrection proves that eternity is real, and it changes our perspective on living. We begin to focus on things that have eternal value instead of things that are just for right here and right now. Do you know the reason that so many people are so miserable in our world today? I'm going to tell you. Don't you like how I ask the question and then give you the answer? You know. The reason that so many people in our world today are absolutely miserable is because they are living just for today. I know you probably shouldn't say this on an Easter Sunday morning, but there used to be a commercial on TV that said you need to get all the gusto that you can. You know the commercial I'm talking about, those of you who are my age. Life is not all about gusto. Life is not all about just living for today. There has to be something more to living than just what you get out of today. You see, there are so many people that are trying to lay up treasures for themselves today. And Jesus said, lay not up treasures just for yourself. Lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal. You see, when you really come to know Jesus, you really come to know the perspective that you should have. We've talked about perspective for a couple of weeks already. And when you begin to think about it, the perspective that we have now is different than the perspective that we used to have. We're not just living for the here and the now. And so you understand that living for Jesus and His resurrection doesn't help us just to see the importance of living for eternal significance. But can I tell you something? Jesus' resurrection helps you to have the power to live like you need to live in the here and the now, right now. Sin blinds us to so many things that are important in life. I mean, it really does. It poisons our will, and it keeps us from longing for and looking for what is real. We get so caught up in earthly and so in temporal things. But Jesus being raised from the dead, it frees us from sin's entanglement. Pastor Jack said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus came to free us from the things that are killing us. That was pitiful. Jesus came to free us from the things that are killing us.
Amen.
Amen. And you begin to think about that. Jesus came not to just allow us to continue as we were. Jesus came in order that we might be delivered from those things and live an abundant life for Him. You see, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's the power of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul talked about wanting to know Jesus, wanting to know Him, and not only just know Him, but know Him in the power of His resurrection. You see, Paul is talking about that Jesus can come. Jesus can give us what we need in order to overcome our spiritual failing. Jesus has come to give us what we need so that we can overcome sin in our lives. Jesus has come to give us what we need so that we can overcome weaknesses. Jesus has come to give us what we need in order that we might be able to overcome addictions. You see, Jesus has come in order that we might live life and live it to the full. That's the power of the resurrection. That's the reason that Paul said in Romans chapter 6, "Since Christ was raised from the dead, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. For sin shall not be your master. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness." You see, our risen Lord truly enables us to live in the power of His resurrection. He frees us from the enslavement to sin. Well, the last thing that I want you to see this morning is because of His resurrection, Jesus has not only changed our perspective on faith and has not only changed our perspective on life, but Jesus has also changed our perspective on death. Not long ago, a study was conducted on fear and how it affects people. And one of the things that came out in this study is that people have a deep, abiding fear of death. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I promise you, if you were to be real honest this morning, probably most every person in this room, when you begin to think about death, it's not one of those pleasant thoughts. It's not one of those things that you go, "Oh, joy." And I hear people from time to time talk about, "Well, you're going to be in a better place." Can I tell you something? The only person that has ever died and came back was Jesus. Well, I understand that there were those in the New Testament that he raised from the dead, but they died. It's not one of those things that we look at and say, "Oh boy, that's going to be fun." I heard someone just this week say, you know, "It is really not death that frightens me, it's the process." Can I tell you, they lied to me when they said it. Because we fear death. We're probably the only ones in all of God's creation that know that we're going to die. But in our text, in verse 18, Paul says, "If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then those who have died in Christ have perished." We avoid this subject as much as we can. We put all kinds of niceties on that thing when we begin to talk about death. Well, they passed away. I had one guy one time, I was just a kid preacher, and I went to check because I'd heard that his dad had passed away. And I went to his house just as quick as I could get there. And when I saw Dale, he came out, and the thing that he said to me, he said, "Well, he expired." And I don't make fun of Dale for saying that to me, but that sounds like something that you'd have on your shelf. It expired. Why are we so afraid to say they died? They cease to live. You see, I don't think that we can keep thoughts about death from darting across our minds every now and then. And I will be honest, now that I'm years old, I think about this a little more than I used to. I'm on my high school Facebook page for our class, and every now and then it comes up, "Well, such and such a person has died." These aren't folks that were out there somewhere that I had no relation. These are people who are my age. So I do think about it. And if you would be honest with me this morning, you think about it. You know? And the reality of it is, I don't think that we should sit around and think about, "Oh, I'm going to die." I really don't think that we should sit around and think about that. That's not something that is healthy. Let me say that. It's kind of like looking into the sun. It's so intense that you can't take it for very long. Someone said, what is called life is destroyed by death, and none can take away its terror. I mean, that's really the truth. That's where we live. I mean, all human beings fear it. As I said a moment ago, I think we're probably the only ones in all of God's creation that understand that we are going to die. And I promise you that if you go to the gym tomorrow, there are going to be hundreds of people in that gym that are doing their best to avoid it. It plagues every generation. It's one of those things that we think about sometimes in the quietness that we may face, and maybe that's the reason that we do not like to be quiet. Even though the Word says, be still and know that I am God. Maybe that's what that is all about. Maybe in the quietness of that moment, thoughts come to our mind that if we were really to accept them, then we might change instead of continuing as we are. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. It's a wonderful passage. It says that Jesus came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Can I tell you what is some of the most important words that were uttered by our Lord when He appeared to the disciples? It's two words. Fear not. Isn't that amazing? Of all the things that Jesus could have said, of all the things that Jesus possibly might have said, when He appeared to them, He said, fear not. And I believe they were scared to death. I believe they were scared to death for a lot of reasons. I believe they were scared to death, one thing, because their earthly master had been crucified and put to death. Okay? I think they understood that might be the exact sentence that was awaiting them if something didn't change, if something didn't happen. Because He had been put to death, probably they would be put to death. Fear not. I'm so glad to tell you this morning that when you read verse 20 of this passage of Scripture, it says, but Christ. What wonderful words. Jesus says, fear not. Paul says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He became the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam, all die. But it doesn't stop. So in Christ, we'll all be made alive. And that's not just talking about right now. That's talking about someday. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You see, it changes the whole perspective. You know? You know you're going to have surgery. You know the doctor is good. You know that everything about this is, you know, people do it all the time. Everything's going to be great. It doesn't reduce the fear, but you have a little more confidence in things because you know your doctor is good. We have the great physician. The great physician who can speak to a body and raise it from the dead. The great King who one day, as Pastor Jack talked about last Sunday, who one day will come, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be. Praise His name. Should have said amen louder. I'm telling you, that ought to be an exciting fact for you and for me this morning. Application. Mark Twain once told of a night in the mid-1800s when the Mississippi River had, there was an earthquake on the Mississippi River, and through a very narrow neck of land, it actually changed course. Aboard the boat that he was on, there was a black man who was there, and on that boat that night, and he went to sleep a slave in Missouri, and woke up to discover that because of the course change, because of the earthquake, because of what had happened overnight, that he was no longer in Missouri, he was in Illinois. And he was now a free man. Some of us in this room this morning need to come to the realization that we no longer have to be enslaved anymore. Some of us in this room are facing battles. Some of us in this room are facing addictions. Some of us in this room are going through things, and we find ourselves in weakness and in the inability to do what we need to do. Some of us in this room need to go to sleep, so to speak, and wake up in a new life. And the reason that we can do that today is because Jesus was resurrected. Because Jesus was resurrected, it changes everything for you and me. I mean, it changes our perspective on faith. It changes our perspective on life. It changes our perspective on death. You see, through His resurrection, Jesus changed everything. Everything. Not just for those who don't know Him, but also for those who do know Him that may be struggling. What Jesus did changes everything. 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 Yep. Believe it or not, I'm still talking about change. We've been talking about changed lives for several weeks. I'm so glad that today, on this Resurrection Sunday, that what Jesus did changes everything. You no longer have to live in the past. You can have life in that more abundant today, because this changes everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that we've had to come together this morning to celebrate Your resurrection. Lord, sometimes our faith is very weak, and sometimes we wonder if all this could be real, if all this can really transpire as we've been told it could. And the good news that I have for this congregation is, because Jesus was resurrected, it changes everything. I'm so thankful, Father, that maybe our lives, they may be in turmoil. It may seem like things go wrong on every turn. It seems like we take two steps forward and three steps back. It seems like old addictions, old habits, old problems, they seem to continue to bother us. They continue to have dominion in our life. But thank You, Father, that because Jesus was resurrected, it changes everything. Perhaps, Lord, there are those who fear death. They think about it. They wonder. They have no real answers. The fear just overwhelms them at times, because they wonder what's going to happen when this is all over with. But because Jesus is resurrected, it changes everything. We no longer have to live as slaves to the fear of death. We rejoice this morning in Your goodness. We rejoice this morning in Your grace. We rejoice this morning that because You live, we too can live, and we can have life more abundant, but we also can have eternal life, because You have changed everything. We give You glory and honor and praise for this opportunity that we have together this morning. But perhaps, Lord, there are those here that don't know You as their personal Savior. Perhaps there are those here who have never come to You and said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. I'm so sorry for the way that I have lived. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to go in a different direction. Maybe, Lord, even now they're whispering, in at least in their minds, maybe even with their mouths, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Lord, because they do that, it changes everything. And so, Father, today we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise for the opportunity that we have to serve a risen Savior. We don't go to a tomb to look at a coffin. We come to a church to celebrate life because you changed everything. Go with us from this place, Lord, today. Help us, oh God, that we would indeed realize that you have changed everything. And because of that, our lives can change too. We love you, we praise you, we give you glory that you are our Savior and our Lord. And we pray and ask these things in the precious name of the one that is risen from the dead, the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, may God bless you. I'm so glad you were here on this Easter Sunday morning. If you're a guest with us today, come back. We want you to. God bless you. Have a great Easter Sunday.